WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there's no due date, tolls, or expiration on the grand hour. This morning, we're going to do another double billing with first. We're going to start off with...
The shadow knows.
This episode is titled Sabotage. I believe it was original air date was the 16th of January, 1938. Starring Orson Welles as The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, and Agnes Moorehead as Margot Lane.
Protect your family's health by burning blue coal, America's finest anthracite. Then you'll be sure of steady, lasting, healthful heat at less cost. The next time you order fuel, ask for blue coal by name. You don't have to get a full supply. Your nearest blue coal dealer will be glad to send you a trial ton. Phone him tomorrow.
Engine room.
Stand by for test number 11.
Engine room standing by, Commander.
Ship full speed ahead. What the? Engine room. Hello. Hello, engine room.
Chief Engineer Swain reporting. Boiler explosion, sir. Three casualties, sir.
Good luck. What happened, Commander?
Boiler explosion, Lieutenant. Hard luck, sir.
Luck nothing.
You mean another case of sabotage?
Yes, sabotage.
Submarine L-21 calling submarine base. Submarine L-21 calling submarine base.
Submarine base answering L-21. Go ahead, L-21.
Submarine L-21, in distress. Submarine L-21, down off Diamond Head. Cannot rise. Emergency. Emergency. Pump damage. Looks like sabotage. Looks like sabotage.
Cruiser returning to base. Cruiser returning to base. Explosion. Explosion in after gun turret. Three dead. Six wounded. Suspect sabotage. Suspect sabotage.
Lord. Hello. 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 Sentry post number 4 reporting. Explosion and fire. Explosion and fire in destroyer dry dock. Sag Island shipyard. Sag Island Shipyard!
Here's Admiral Keeley now.
Well, what are the findings of the board, Admiral?
Yeah, Admiral, what's the dope on this sabotage ring?
Gentlemen,
Ford has authorized me to make this statement to the press.
Let's have it, Admiral.
Yeah, let's have the lowdown, Admiral.
Our inquiry indicates that all ships affected by recent acts of sabotage have all been built, reconditioned, or repaired in the Sag Island Yard.
Sag Island, eh?
Yes. And every resource at the command of the government is being directed toward the apprehension of those responsible for the systematic blows at the naval defense strength of the United States.
And would you mind telling me where you've been for the past 5 days? I was nearly frantic until I got your call asking me to meet you. And why those old clothes? And why haven't you shaved?
I'm sorry, Margot. I've been at Sag Island.
Sag Island? You mean where they're having all the trouble in the shipyard?
Yes, it seemed to be a case where the Shadow might be of some use to his country.
You've uncovered something. Is that why you sent for me, Lamont?
I'm not sure, but I stumbled on something last night. It's been a process of elimination.
Where are we going? Back to Sag Island?
Yes, we're almost there now.
Lamont, have you anything definite to work on? It seems so hopeless.
You forget, Margot, that I, as the Shadow, have a certain gift.
You mean what the underworld call the power of invisibility?
Yes, and the ability to read other men's minds, particularly the mind of a man who has something to hide.
But you've got to find that man first, Lamont.
I know.
Do you mean that out of the 3,000 men in the Sag Island shipyard, you found the one man who has eluded the Secret Service, the police, and everyone for weeks?
I think I have, Margot. I'll know for sure tonight.
What do you want me to do, Lamont? We're coming into Sag Island now.
I want you to go to the Sag Island Hotel, take a room, and set up the shortwave radio outfit. You brought it, didn't you?
Yes, it's in the baggage compartment.
Good. Now listen, Margot. Tune in the wave I use as the Shadow and wait. Wait all night if necessary. Stop the car here, Margot.
Yes. Lamont, I know you don't believe in woman's intuition. At least you pretend not.
On the contrary, I have a healthy respect for intuition. Now be careful. I have a premonition myself.
Lamont, can't you tell me anything more?
I can only tell you I'm going into that bar down the street. If this man is the one I think he is, we will have a very interesting visit in that bar.
Hey, bartender, set him up again.
Yeah, one more round.
I'm doing, boys. Closing time.
All right. Come on, Jake.
Okay. Good night.
Come on, Bill. Let's go.
Good night, boys. Good night.
Holy mackerel. 2 o'clock already.
An hour passes quickly when a man is talking about himself, Mr. Buckler.
What? What have I been talking about? Well, say, who the devil are you anyway? If you're one of them Secret Service guys trying to pump me, you're barking up the wrong tree.
I'm not a Secret Service man.
Well, then what's your game?
What's yours?
You're not looking for a job. You're a phony. I have a good notion to turn you over to the cops. They're rounding up guys like you.
Sit down, Buckler. Listen to me, or you'll get us both in trouble.
Who sent you here? Who told you to look me up?
Would it help if I told you what you're thinking, Buckler?
Quit stalling. Who sent you?
It's running through your mind over and over again. I see it like a picture on a slate. You're thinking, did Arnheim send him? Did Arnheim send him?
You're a liar. I never mentioned Arnheim's name. Never heard of him.
Then why are you thinking of a name you never heard? Don't be a fool, Buckler. I know.
What do you know? What did he send you for? What's wrong? Why didn't he...
Yes.
Nothing. Quit staring at me like that,
you were going to say, why didn't Arnheim tell me himself? Suppose we go ask him.
No, no, he don't want anybody to know. If you're in on this, you ought to know that. Listen, you. I don't know how much you know or how...
Hey, you two, it's fast closing time. Come on, I'll clear out. Tomorrow's another day.
My friend and I were just leaving.
Yeah? But you'd have to go out to the alley. I locked up the front door and I ain't unlocking it again.
Come along, Buckler. We can finish our talk on the way.
On the way to where?
Come along, I'll show you.
All right. We can cut through the alley. We can talk on the way.
Yes, we can talk. After you, Buckler.
Okay, come on. Hey, come on, what's the idea? We're going down the dark alley, ain't we? Hey, you, cut the comedy and come on.
Your companion has left you, Mr. Buckler. He saw your hand slip into that pocket where you carry a blackjack. He saw the picture in your mind. And knowing you meant to crush his skull, he asked me to take his place.
What is this, a frame-up? Who was that guy? Who are you?
Steve Buckler, you're a traitor. You're selling your birthright, your honor, your country's safety for money you'll never live to collect.
How do you know all that? Who are you, anyway?
This is your first excursion in crime, isn't it, Buckler?
What difference does that make? Who are you? What do you want?
If you had any contact with the underworld, you wouldn't have to ask who I am. You ever heard of the Shadow, Steve Buckler?
The Shadow?
So that's it. That's where you are. The man who can hide anywhere that no one has ever seen.
Yes, Buckler. The man no one has ever seen.
Don't move.
Shall I tell you what you're thinking? I see the picture inside your head. You're thinking you'd kill me if you could only see me.
You're like that other guy. You can't tell what I'm thinking. All right, you got me dead to rights. What do you want me to do?
Stop taking orders from Arnheim.
Is that all? You mean you're not going to turn me over to the Secret Service?
No. No, I'm going to give you one more chance, Steve Buckler. One last chance.
Listening to Freeform Radio.
91.5 FM.
WMFO Medford.
Medford.
91.5 WMFO Medford.
Okay, again, you're listening to Sabotage. Orson Welles as the Shadow and Lamont Cranston. Original air date the 16th of January, 1938. This is episode 17, if I recall correctly, because I didn't indicate that in my notes. Some of these shows weren't preserved. They just, for whatever reason, they didn't have the ability to, either for quality or just production. So I'm going to send you out with another... Well, I was going to do another promo for somebody, but I think I'm running out of time. If so, for whatever reason, they're lost. They're just not available. We're playing here from the first season, and Orson Welles was only on for a season in what's called Season 1B, as far as I can tell.
I have found our man. He is meeting someone. The Shadow will be with them. Stand by.
Who's there? Who's there?
It's Rigo. Let me in, Butler.
Oh, okay. Where's Arnheim? Why didn't he come?
What makes you think he'd be fool enough to come here just because you sent word you're in trouble?
I've got to see him. I've got to talk to him, Rigo.
What's the matter with you? The Secret Service men been asking you questions again?
No, they don't suspect anything. But somebody else is after us. Somebody knows Arnheim is back of all this sabotage.
Well, who is it? Come on, Buckler, out with it.
Let go of me, I'll tell you. It's the Shadow.
The Shadow? Don't give me that.
It's the truth. That's why I phoned Arnheim. I got to have the money you promised me. I got to get away from here.
Listen, you fool. How did the Shadow get wise to you? How much does he know?
I'm not sure, Ivan.
How did he find out unless you told him?
I didn't tell him. But he can read your mind. Listen, you got to take me to Arnheim. I got to get away.
How did you get away from the Shadow?
He let me go. Said he was giving me one last chance.
You're lying, Buckler. People don't get away from the Shadow. He doesn't let them go unless they're working for him. Listen, if you're trying to pull a double cross on Arnheim, you'll never live to tell it.
I'm telling you the truth, Rigo. You got to believe me.
All right. Maybe you are. But it just happens we've got another job for you that will prove whether you're on the level with Arnheim or not.
I can't do anything more. The Shadow knows I'm responsible for all those accidents. He'll find me. You can't hide from anybody like that.
He'll find you dead if you don't do as you're told. Besides, Buckley, you'd like to get that $50,000 Arnheim promised you, wouldn't you?
I've done more than he asked already. I've earned that $50,000 a dozen times over.
Maybe you have. But you don't get it unless you carry out Arnheim's orders. Well, this is the last. It'll be easy for you. And it won't take you long. I'll wait for you. Take you to Arnheim's place. He'll pay you off and you can be on your way. What about it, Buckler?
What does he want this time?
It's that battle cruiser that's going out on a trial run in the morning.
It's too late to tamper with anything now, Rigo.
So what? You're a turbine inspector. You're scheduled to go along, we know that.
But how? What can I do? It's too late, I tell you.
I'll show you what you're going to do. You see this metal tube?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do with it? You're going aboard the cruiser and plant that inside some piece of machinery. Some place where it'll get smashed when the engines start.
What's in that tube?
Oh, nothing much. Just enough nitroglycerin to tear the turbines out of that cruiser?
No, I won't do it. It'd kill every man in the engine room.
It won't be the first time, Buckler.
I couldn't carry that thing into the yard. They're searching everybody, Rigo.
Quit stalling, will you? We know they don't search inspectors. That's why you've been so useful.
All right. Suppose I can get it in the machinery. Get off the ship before she sails. How do I know Arnheim will keep his word? Pay me off, let me get away.
I didn't come here to bargain with you, Buckler. All I know is Arnheim told me to bring you back after you'd carried out his orders.
All right. I'll do it. But this is the last time. Give me that tube.
Now you're talking. But look out for that stuff. It's touchy. Well, come on. What are you waiting for?
You better go first.
Nothing doing. I'm making sure you get to the yard. That cruiser sails with the flood tide. And don't try anything because I'll be waiting for you in my car when you come out. Well, come on.
Margo Lane, drive to shipyard. Watch for black sedan parked in front of red brick building. Our man is Steve Buckler, ship inspector. I am following him into shipyard to prevent another accident. Margo, don't lose sight of that black sedan. It will lead us to the real head of the sabotage ring.
Buckler?
Oh. Morning, Lieutenant.
Giving the turbines a bit of final inspection before we start on the trial run?
Yeah, I thought I'd have a look around.
Go right ahead. I have to check the gauges. Let me know if you find anything that needs adjustment.
I'll let you know, Lieutenant.
I'll show on. I'll show I'm not afraid to go through with this. There, now. Just wait till those turbines start spinning. Till they smash that metal tube of nitroglycerin. Just wait.
Everything look all right, Mr. Buckler?
Yeah. Yeah, everything's fine. Just fine, Lieutenant. Fine.
Yes. Everything will be just fine. In just a moment. As soon as I've removed this tube of nitroglycerin that Buckler put in the turbine.
Margo, wait a minute.
Oh, Lamont, thank heavens you're here. There goes that black sedan.
Buckler and a man named Rigo. Follow them and don't get too close.
What happened in the shipyard?
Well, Buckler tried to carry out another sabotage job for a man named Arnheim. He's the man we want.
Did you stop Buckler?
Yes, but he doesn't know it. Don't have an accident, Margo. We'll be scattered all over the landscape.
Oh.
Careful, Margo.
What do you mean?
Just that this metal tube I'm carrying contains enough nitroglycerin to blow us to kingdom come if it's jolted hard enough.
Where'd you get it, Lamont? From Buckler?
Yes, he left it in a gearbox at the battlecruiser.
Oh, so that's why you followed him into the shipyard.
Slow down, Margo. You're getting too close to that car. Yes, yes. I had to stop that murderous scheme, even if it meant losing track of Buckler and Rigo.
But do you think they'll lead us to this man who seems to be behind all this, Arnheim?
I'm sure of it.
Look, Lamont, they're turning in that big estate.
Quick, Margot. Go up the road and stop.
Yes. Lamont, look at the sign. Redland Sanitarium. This doesn't look like a place where Arnheim would have his headquarters.
That's probably why he selected it. Well, Margot, this is it.
Lamont, you're not going in there alone.
Yes, the Shadow is going to return this little metal instrument of death to Dr. Arnheim in person.
Doctor?
Yes, just look at that sign, Margot. Redland Sanitarium, Dr. Felix Arnheim, resident physician.
Oh, please don't go in there alone, Lamont. Let's notify the state police. We can. I have the radio transmitter in the car.
Good, and I want you to call the state police on the regular wavelength 5 minutes after I've gone in the house.
Well, why not call them now?
Margot, we're not dealing with amateurs. They're undoubtedly prepared against police raids. If the police blunder in there, they'll only find an empty house. I've got to go in there alone.
Don't take that nitroglycerin with you, Lamont.
Well, Margot, I must. This tube of concentrated death is an important part of my plan to hold those men in that house until the police break in.
Oh, don't, Lamont. You said you had a premonition, remember?
Don't, Margot, worry. Call the police, and in 5 minutes, which is in the lap of the gods.
And in the hands of the Shadow.
Mm-hmm. Rieger.
Here he is, Dr. Arnheim.
So you have to come to tell me you're afraid, Mr. Butler. You wish to go away. Far away.
Yes. Yes, I know when I've had enough. And I want that $50,000, and I want it quick.
So, have you carried out my last instructions?
Yes, I have. And that's the finish. Pay me off and let me get away from here.
Well, I'm afraid we must wait until we are sure of the success of your latest venture in sabotage, Mr. Butler.
Listen, Arnheim. Finding that nitroglycerin on the cruiser will be traced to me an hour after the explosion. Every Secret Service agent in this country will be after me.
We will see that they do not find you.
I'll see to that myself. Listen. You'll give me that $50,000 and let me get out of here now, or I'll...
So what? Keep him covered, Mr. Rieger.
Don't make a move, Butler. I hate to shoot men in the bank.
What are you going to do if we don't pay you, Mr. Butler?
I'm warning you. Tell Rieger not to shoot. Do you think I didn't know you'd try something like this? You think I'd come here without an ace up my sleeve?
Go on, Mr. Butler.
Just this little bottle filled with some of the nitroglycerin you sent me to plant on the cruiser. You know what'll happen if I throw it. And I'll throw it if Rieger shoots.
Mr. Butler, you're bluffing. That metal tube was sealed and could not be opened.
You're crazy. I opened it. Pour a little out of it.
Rieger. I think Mr. Butler has served us long enough. He wants to go far away. I think we should help him.
No. Don't. I've done everything you wanted. You can't kill me. You'll be caught.
Mr. Butler, this is a sanitarium. Many persons have died here. It is quite useful. The police think nothing of one death, more or less.
Are you sure there's no nitro in that bottle, Doctor?
Quite sure. I think. Now, Mr. Rieger.
No. No, don't!
The shadow. The shadow warned me. I should have listened. Listen, there's a shadow.
Very good, Mr. Rieger. This American man of mystery... The shadow. He interests me. You told me something over the telephone.
Yes, he got to Butler last night. Makes himself invisible. As I told you over the phone, I think we'd better get out of the country for a while.
Because of this shadow? He's just a man using hypnotic forces that affect men's minds.
Well, maybe, but once he gets on your trail, there's no shaking him off.
But I know something about such forces.
He can appear in a room without being seen.
How
does he do it?
Some call it the powers of angels or devils. But it's the art of mesmerism. Hypnotic suggestion is very old. And certain men of modern science have developed it amazingly.
Well, no matter how he does it, I don't want to meet this shadow.
In that case, Mr. Rieger, will you be so kind as to remove that body? I dislike the presence of the dead.
All right, I'll take care. I'll be in the cellar if you need me.
I shall not need you.
Hey, what's funny, Doc? What are you grinning about?
I am looking forward to a conversation I'm going to have.
Somebody coming here?
Not exactly. Don't concern yourself, Mr. Rieger. This is something beyond your comprehension.
Okay. I'll be on tap if you need me.
What are you waiting for, Shadow? Why don't you speak?
How long have you known I was in this room, Doctor?
For quite some minutes, Shadow. While I'm not a master of your art of invisibility, my mind is sensitive to such a forceful concentration as you exert to cloak your presence.
I see. Since you sent Rieger away, it is evident you are not afraid of me.
Fear is a luxury I do not allow myself, Shadow.
Your career of sabotage is over, Dr. Arnheim.
I think not. I have never met a man who did not have a price, Shadow.
I have only one price for your kind, Doctor. Prison.
You could be very valuable to me, Shadow.
Don't reach into that drawer, Doctor. A gun is of no use.
A gun? That is a crude way of setting a difference of opinion. But money I can pay well.
Money won't help you.
Then you leave me no alternative. You see that little wheel set into this wall?
Yes.
I turn it, and...
Gas.
Yes, Shadow, gas. The room is airtight. It served me well on other occasions, Shadow. You can't get out. The door is locked on the outside.
What good will it do you to kill me if you also die?
I'm not going to kill you or myself with this gas.
What then?
Just enough gas will be liberated to numb your powers of concentration. Enough to destroy your ability to remain invisible. You can't resist it, Shadow. And just the moment you will weaken, become visible, and the moment I see you, the moment I catch the faintest glimpse of a shadowy form, I shoot. The air's becoming quite heavy, Shadow.
Yes, but... Listen, Dr. Arnheim. The police are closing in, Doctor.
So, you don't trust your own powers. You had to have the police to help you.
In a few minutes, the place will be surrounded.
That is all the time I need. You will become visible. I shall kill you. And then...
And then?
I'll take the police a little while to break into this room. When they do, they will find a dead Shadow. But I shall not be here. This door behind me leads to a passageway which leads to a bay. A speedboat awaits me there.
I know about the speedboat, Dr. Arnheim.
You see? The gas is doing its work. You're weakening. Your power of invisibility is losing its... What is it, Rigo?
Doctor, quick, the police. The passageway. The speedboat is ready. We can make it. Hey, what are you doing with that gas? What's the idea?
Wait, Rigo. The Shadow. He's here in this room. In just a moment, he will become visible.
But you haven't time to wait. The police are already in the house.
Don't try to escape in that speedboat. I have turned it into a death trap, Dr. Arnheim.
Come, come, quicker. It'll be too late.
Wait, Dr. Arnheim. Death is waiting for you in that speedboat. A violent death of your own making.
Yeah, you can't bluff me.
Don't listen to him, Doctor. Hurry.
All right. But remember, Shadow, we shall meet again.
I'm afraid not, my friend. But first, let me turn off this gas.
Search the place. Round everybody you find.
Wilson,
Harvey, Davidson, you men take me upstairs. Rest of you, follow me. Try that room, Sergeant.
Okay.
Captain, this room's full of gas.
Sergeant, an iron door there. Try it.
Looks like they skipped.
What was that?
It sounded like an explosion down near the water.
Yes, it was an explosion, gentlemen. And there will be no more wrecking of warships. It was the tube of nitroglycerin intended for the new battlecruiser by Dr. Arnheim and placed in the gears of the good doctor's own speedboat with the compliments of the Shadow.
You have just heard a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Next week, same.
You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, WMFO.org. That concludes the first half of the show. The initial billing with the Shadow. Again, it's kind of makes me a little nervous hearing Orson Welles with such a radio presence he was. It makes me nervous in the studio. That, well, if you don't know who Orson Welles is, I don't know what to tell you. So, at this point, let's go ahead and plug somebody else's show here for a minute.
Ooh, we're gonna have fun.
Oh, yeah.
If you enjoy new and vintage punk, rock and roll, rhythm and blues, psychedelic, surf, and rockabilly, you'll want to tune into the Desperate Hours with Alex every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. here on WMFO Medford.
We pride ourselves on the high moral standards of our program, and I mean that sincerely. We don't resort to sex or crime or violence or drinking on the program.
It's great music from the has-beens, should-have-beens, woulda-couldas, and never-weres. From the 1950s all the way up through to the present day.
Yes.
Connect with Alex and the Desperate Hours on Facebook and listen on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. Only here on Tufts Freeform Radio, 91.5 on your FM dial and on the web at WMFO.org.
There's no crime in giving yourself over to pleasure.
And if you haven't heard that show, The Desperate Hours, that is a pretty damn good of a show. It's actually the first show that I ever heard that captured my interest here at WMFO. Now for the second half of the show, turn towards the Western. Again, James Stewart. If it seems a little redundant that I'm playing The Shadow and The Six Shooter, well, this is only my third show, so I gotta build some momentum somewhere. This one's called The Coward. I believe its original air date was 27th of September 1953, some 17 years after The Shadow.
The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. Coleman, America's leader in modern automatic home heating equipment and the National Broadcasting Company, present James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of dramas based on the life of Britt Ponson, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends. Now, in just a moment, immediately following this important announcement, you'll hear Act One of The Six Shooter. Last year, thousands of Americans who tried to get away with carelessness on the highways were killed or permanently injured in traffic accidents. And remember, accidents don't always happen to the other fellow. Unless you are meticulous in your observance of the rules of highway safety, you and your loved ones are vulnerable to the menace of traffic accidents. Every motorist should take an active role in supporting the safety movement in his or her community. Encourage driver training in your high schools. Teach your children the rules of safety on the highway. Remember, the life you save may be your own. Now, Act One of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart.
I had a grandstand seat, a rocking chair on the front porch of the Temple City Hotel. Not that there was much to watch. A couple of women looking at the bonnets in the windows of Bradley's Mercantile, and some kids playing mummy peg over in the alley next to the bank, and the checker game in the shadow of a big elm across the street. But it was a couple of days before I was due to pick up some cattle in Atterbury for Mrs. Pritchard, and, well, Temple City seemed as good a place as any to stop over. I was considering taking a little nap when I saw Will. At least that's who I thought it was. He was coming out of the general store carrying a box of groceries. I couldn't be sure, though, because just as he started to climb into a wagon, another man rode up alongside and shut off my view.
Well, look who's in town. You doing the marketing, Will? Thought the women usually did that. But I guess in your case, it ain't such a bad idea to switch things around.
I was hoping I'd run into you, Temple. Two of my cows have been killed this week.
You mean your wife's cows, don't you, Will? It wasn't two, three. The boys found another one grazing on my side of the creek this morning. You're going to have to do something about that fence of yours. You won't have no stock left at all.
That fence was all right yesterday.
Maybe, but this is today.
Now, you listen to me, Temple.
I figure it's about time you done the listening, Will. I want your wife's ranch. Ain't made no bones about it. She was willing to sell until you came along.
She ain't willing now.
I'll give you $2 an acre. That's more than a fair price. Anybody will tell you that.
We're not going to be shoved off that land, not for $2 an acre or 20.
Then maybe I'd better talk to Sarah, seeing as how it's her property.
No! No. I'm warning you. You stay away from our ranch and our cattle, or I'll...
Well, go on. Tell me what you'll do, Will. I'd be real interested to find out.
Come on, Bill.
If it was Sarah giving him the warning, I might take it seriously, seeing as how she wears the pants in her family.
The wagon moved in closer where I was sitting. I got a good look at him now. He'd changed a lot since last time we met up. He was older, and there were a couple of those squint wrinkles between his eyes. Even so, he still could have been more than 23 or 4, seeing as how he was only about 20 when we worked on the West Star Roundup together.
Hey, Will! Will! Hey, Will!
I thought he'd recognize me, but I guess I'd changed some, too. I wasn't getting aged or something like that, but I'd ripened up a bit, I guess. Anyway, Will kind of glanced my way and then drove on. And from the way he was holding those reins, I had a pretty good idea of what he was thinking. This Temple fella, he pushed him too far. And if I knew Will, he was getting ready to do something about it. Well, there was no point in trying to run him down now. We'd probably meet up later. So I went into the hotel and looked around for a place to sit down. The clerk behind the desk was playing a game of solitaire.
Oh, howdy, Mr. Ponsett. Something I can do for you?
No, thanks, so.
Room all right?
Yeah, it's fine. Room's fine.
Real pleasure having you stand with us. Anything you'd like.
What do you think? The Black Queen.
Huh?
The plays on the King of Diamonds.
Oh, thank you. Like to look at the Denver paper? Just came in on the stage.
No, thanks. Just the same. I was sort of figuring on a little snooze. A little too much racket outside.
I know what you mean. Noah Temple's got a voice that carries all right. I could hear him and Will arguing clear in here.
Yeah.
Don't amount to nothing, though, Mr. Ponsett. They've been squaring off like that ever since Will moved to town and married Sarah Blake.
Oh?
Oh, looks like I'm stuck. Good thing I'm not playing at the gambling hall. I'd be out $50. You see, Noah's got the idea of buying Sarah's ranch, and there ain't going to be no stopping him until he buys it.
Will he need her land for any reason?
Sure thinks he does. Now, if I can just get me the ace of spades. 40 years ago, Noah's grandfather started this town. He owned all the acreage between the foothills and the creek out south. Old Temple said it was named for him, as a matter of fact.
Is that so?
But the old man's son, Fred, well, he wasn't much good. First thing you know, he'd sold off nearly everything his dad had left him. When Noah took over, he swore he'd get all the Temple property back again. Guess it sort of stuck in his craw that Temple's wasn't the biggest outfit in the valley no more. Doggone that Black Seven.
How's Noah Temple been doing?
Well, first folks didn't take him serious. They thought he was just a talker like his father, but he sure fooled them. Yeah, today he's got more acres than his granddaddy ever had. There's only one piece of the original Temple setup he ain't been able to buy back. That land of Sarah.
Oh?
Sure was a surprise when Will wouldn't let her sell it. Nobody ever figured he'd stand up to Noah. A man like him.
Was there something wrong with him?
7, 8, 9. What's that? Oh, well, you see, Mr. Ponsett, Will's a coward. Missy is, he's yellow clear through. He won't ever wear a gun. If there's a posse being formed, he don't go along. And if there's a fight, he lays low. You can call him names, you can insult him. The way Noah Templeton, he just takes it.
Gee, that sure don't sound like him to me.
You know Will, Mr. Ponson?
Used to. A couple of years ago, we worked around up together.
Oh, that must have been before he moved to Temple City.
Yeah, it's down in Texas. Back there, Willie Techman wasn't afraid of nobody or nothing. And for a youngster, he's mighty fancy with a gun.
Techman?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, but that ain't his name, Mr. Ponson. Will's name is Fetter.
Oh?
Yeah, Will Fetter. Well, no wonder you were surprised about him being yellow. You got the wrong man.
Uh-huh.
Well, they must look alike. This friend of yours and Will Fetter.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I do, yeah. Well, I went upstairs to my room, started to pull my boots off. You know, it's funny. I hadn't been doing anything but sit all day, and my feet hurt worse than I'd been walking 20 miles.
Oh.
Here. There. I looked out the window. That sun is just about even with the church steeple. I saw it be around 3 o'clock. Oh, I had a couple hours before supper, so I let myself down in a bed. Hmm? Yeah? Yeah. Well, come on in.
Mr. Ponson?
Oh, excuse me, ma'am. I didn't know it was a lady.
I'm sorry to bother you, Mr. Ponson.
Oh, not at all. I wasn't exactly what you'd call busy. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Yeah, wait, I'll get those boots out of your way.
Mr. Ponson, I'm Will's wife.
Oh, I'm pleased to meet you, ma'am.
Will told me you were in town today. He saw you. And you saw him, didn't you?
Yes, ma'am. At least I thought I did.
Well, you can't tell anyone he's here, Mr. Ponson.
Oh?
You didn't come to Temple City looking for Will, did you? Will thought maybe that was the reason. We heard about what happened in Prescott last winter when you came across Bar Cleaver.
Yeah, well, you heard wrong, ma'am. I didn't come across Cleaver. He came across me. And as for Will, he...
He's made a new life here. A good life. If he has to go back to prison...
Prison? Oh.
Well, you knew about the bank robbery in Austin and about him breaking out before... You knew, didn't you?
No, ma'am. Oh, I haven't been back that way since...
Then you wouldn't have told the marshal? But we thought... We were sure. What have I done?
Now, just take it easy, ma'am.
Well, if I hadn't come to see you, nobody would have known he was Will Techman.
You know, things have a way of coming out sooner or later. How much longer was Will supposed to serve?
2 years.
Uh-huh. Well, that's not so long when you're young.
We're going to have a baby, Mr. Ponson. But I almost wouldn't want to have him if he was going to grow up knowing his father'd been in prison. Why should Will have to go back? Why?
Well, I guess maybe you'd better ask the judge who sentenced him, ma'am.
What I mean is they say it's so a man will live a decent, respectable life when he comes out. And Will's already living a decent, respectable life. He works hard. He never makes trouble for anybody. He doesn't even wear a gun, and he promised me he never will.
Was that your idea, not wearing a gun?
Before we were married, he told me about the trouble in Austin and how he broke out of prison. I suppose I should have made him go back. But I was so much in love, I couldn't. So I asked him to give me his word he'd never use a gun again, never even carry one.
Well, it must have been kind of hard on a fellow like Will to keep holding himself back that way.
It hasn't been easy. I've heard what men like Noah Temple call him. But Will takes it. He's kept his word.
This fellow Temple, you know, the way he and Will were going at it today, it sounded like they were heading for trouble.
Won't be anything serious. Will just doesn't want us to be pushed off of the ranch. You can't hold that against him.
No, there's not.
Then you won't tell the marshal over in Atterbury? Or anybody?
Well, I don't imagine Marshal Sanders like me mixing into his business. This is his district. I guess he can take care of it. Anyway, he has so far. But now, look here,
Thank you, Mr. Ponson.
Well,
thank you.
Now,
and thanks for will, too.
Well, wait. Well, after all, you know, most of what she said was true. Sending Will back to prison might do more harm than good, but... And it wasn't up to me to sit judgment on him. I was going to be leaving town up there, so anyway, and if anything happened after that, wouldn't be my concern, so... Of course, a man does have certain duties even if he's not wearing a badge. A man who spots a wanted criminal, he's supposed to report it. And I always had before. I scraped some of the mud off my boots and washed my face, put on a clean shirt, and went downstairs in the lobby. The clerk was still playing solitaire.
Just beat myself again, Mr. Ponson. I was playing in the gambling hall. I'd be ahead about $140. Pretty good for one afternoon, isn't it?
Yeah, real good. About time for supper?
Yeah, go right on in. Molly will fix you up. Got baked ham tonight.
Fine.
Oh, say, Mr. Ponson?
Yeah?
Remember us talking about Will Fetter and him being afraid to carry a gun?
Uh-huh.
Well, the darnest thing just happened. Oh, it wasn't any more than 15 minutes ago, I guess everybody's talking about. He went into Bradley's Mercantile and he bought himself a carbine.
Oh?
Of course, he's just trying to bluff Noah Temple. Folks are giving 10-1. Will don't even know how to load a rifle. Where you going, Miss Barton? Dining room's over there.
I guess maybe I'm not hungry yet. Say, whereabouts is Will's ranch? I think maybe I'll take a little ride. Maybe work up an appetite.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in a moment.
Yeah, good morning again. We'll begin our second act here in a few moments. But first, we're going to have a PSA.
These are the four rules of gun safety. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule number one, all guns are always loaded. Rule number two, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule number three, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you've made the decision to shoot. And rule number four, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. Public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponson.
Fetter Ranch was about 2 miles south of town, and from the outside looked neat and comfortable, well kept up. The ground stretching out behind it was good grazing land, though it was worth at least $5 an acre, maybe more. I tied Scar to a cottonwood in the yard and walked up to the door.
About time you got home, Will.
Oh,
Mr. Ponson.
Evening, ma'am.
Come on in.
Will's not here?
No, he was gone when I came back. He must be out tending the stock. What's wrong, Mr. Ponson? You haven't changed your mind, have you?
Where's the Temple Ranch lie from here?
It's all around us. On all four sides of our land.
And Temple's ranch house, where's that?
East. Dewey. Well, what's that got to do with it? What's happened?
Will was in town this evening. He bought a rifle.
I don't believe it. He promised me. You're wrong, Mr. Ponson. Will isn't gunning for Noah Temple. He's out tending stock. Well, he'll be home any minute. You'll see.
Maybe.
Where are you going?
I hear Temple's got quite an outfit. It's worth paying a visit.
You won't find Will there. He gave me his word he'd never use a gun again. You won't find him!
I headed due east for about a quarter of a mile, and when I came to the edge of Will's property, I saw a sorrel tethered to a fence post. Looked like Will had decided to go the rest of the way on foot, so I climbed out of the saddle and looked around. There was a big break in the fence, but the cattle hadn't made it. That barbed wire had been cut. And there were four heifers and a couple of steers lying just over the temple boundary. Well, there just wasn't much question about it. They'd been shot. So I crawled through the opening and went right past a big sign that said, Temple Ranch, trespassers will be shot. I found some footprints. I figured they were Will's. About 30 minutes later, I caught sight of the ranch house. It was built about halfway up the side of a pretty steep hill, big, sprawling building. There was a light inside, and I could just barely make out Noah sitting at a desk working on some papers. But where was Will? He had plenty of time to get here. And I heard his step and swung around. It was one of Temple's hands, pacing up and down near the stable alongside the house. The way he was holding the rifle, it looked like an army sentry instead of a cowhand. All of a sudden, he gave a little gasp. I saw a shadow tighten around his throat. The sentry went down, and there was a struggle. Not very noisy, though. Not noisy enough for Temple to hear it. And then everything was quiet. The shadow stood up. It was Will Tuckman. He was inching his way toward the house, toward the window where Temple was sitting. I came up behind him. I pulled out my gun. He was starting to aim his rifle. Will, drop it, Will.
What?
Yeah.
I might have known you'd turn up.
Give me your rifle, Will.
Could get off a shot.
At me, but not at Temple.
Temple gets our ranch and I go to prison, is that it?
We'll talk all about that as soon as we get back to your place. Now, come on. I carried Will's rifle and led the way. About 20 minutes later, we passed another one of Temple's guards. He was dozing, didn't notice it. We still had a couple of miles to go before we'd reached the fence where we'd left the horses. Will was sort of panting for breath. All right, let's rest a minute.
Okay.
I thought you promised your wife you'd never take up a gun again, Will.
Mr. Ponsett, you see them dead heifers over by the fence?
Yeah.
That about wipes our herd out. I found them, I had to do something. As long as you knew who I was anyway, as long as I was going back to prison, I had to fix it so Sarah wouldn't have the ranch taken away from
her. You wouldn't think a piece of land would be worth everybody getting so excited about.
I've been shoved around, Britt. Ever since I was a kid, I've been shoved around. Even when I held up the Austin Bank, I wasn't the one who...
The one who what?
Nothing. Since I married Sarah, well, I've had to take a lot that other men wouldn't put up with because of her and because of her knowing what I was. This thing with Temple got under my skin. I made up my mind to stand up to him. A man's got to take a stand sometime, somewhere.
I'm sorry, Will, but...
Hey, what's that? Get down, Will!
Yep.
We've got you dead to rights, Vedder. Trespassing.
I ain't alone, Temple. Britt Ponsett's with me.
Ponsett?
That's right, Temple.
I might have known Vedder wouldn't come along. Well, I guess four of us can take care of two of you. He won't be much use to you, Ponsett. Not in a fight. Okay, boys, move in.
I could see one of his boys firing from behind a tree behind him. So I aimed at his arm. And the bullet hit him on the shoulder and he lurched forward. I'd met only three of them now, but they were closing. Will still didn't say anything. He was waiting for me to make the next move. I tossed him the rifle.
Thanks, Brett.
He got to his knees and started across a little clearing. He was still all right when he died behind a boulder. I knew where he was heading, too. Noah Temple had been shooting from behind a clump of pines about 50 yards back. For a couple of minutes, I didn't get a chance to watch him. Temple's two guards were on either side of me now. Well, one of them was more than 8-10 feet away. I saw the barrel of his carbine rise up from behind the bush. There's only one guard left. About that time, it seemed like he'd had enough. Anyway, I moved across the clearing toward the pine trees where Will had disappeared. Pulled up behind a rock. Well, there was Noah Temple. Crouched down low, his gun ready. A little bit of movement in the brush caught my eye. It was Will. He was right behind Temple. And Temple didn't know it. He was looking my way. Will had a perfect shot. I saw Will's finger curl around the trigger. But Will didn't fire. I couldn't figure out what had gotten into him. He didn't fire. And then he threw his rifle to one side and let out a yell.
Temple!
Temple turned and got off a shot. Well, he was surprised he couldn't do much aiming. And then Will was on top of him, twisting the gun out of his hands. And after that, I saw a fight the like of which I'd never seen before in my life. There, Will hit Temple across the face, and he went over backwards. And then Temple kicked, and his foot lifted Will right off the ground. But before Temple could pick himself up, Will was right on top of him again. And Temple tried to reach for his gun, and Will brought his boot right down on Temple's hand. Temple quit reaching. And then Will backed away and let Temple up again. And as soon as Temple was steady again, Will drove his fist right into Temple's stomach. And Temple's hand flew apart, and he was wide open. Will hit him again, and hit him again, and again. And finally, Temple managed to send his fist into Will's face. And Will looked like maybe he was going to go down, but he still had a fight left to land a right that snapped Temple's head right back. And it was Temple that toppled over, and then I knew he wasn't going to get up again, not for quite a while. Feel better, Will?
Yeah. Yeah, lots better.
You had your chance to kill him. You had a perfect shot. You didn't have to fight him this way.
It's the only way I could fight him, Brett.
Huh?
I had him in my sights. Something kept me from pulling the trigger. Maybe you'll think I'm crazy, but I kept remembering what I'd promised Sarah. That I wouldn't use a gun again. I couldn't pull that trigger, Brett. I just couldn't.
Uh-huh. Well, let's see if we can't get Temple here to a doctor. You know, it looks like he needs one. We left Noah with the doc in Temple City, and I started off for Atterbury. I've made up my mind to tell the marshal about Will, all about him. Sarah and Will, they agreed. They think I should, too. But then again, the way I see it right now, the state of Texas is looking for a gun-toting bank robber named Will Techman, and I just don't think Marshal Sanders would be very much interested in the law-abiding rancher who's called Will Fetter.
I'd like to take a minute here.